That was kind of weird, but I think we made it. Hey, Vanya.
Hi, Mike.
It's just that thing where, like, I don't ever want my headphones to connect to my computer. So every time it does it, I say, forget this device.
Yeah.
And then the next time I turn it on, it's like, oh, we remember you. And I'm like, no, I said to forget it.
I said to forget it
forever.
God damn it.
It's fine. We're all good. I also was going to start out by asking you what feed the peppers meant, but then I realized you meant the puppers.
Oh my God, Mike, I need glasses.
Should we talk about that?
Sure,
how are your eyes doing?
You know, I thought it was just because I started the new gig. Sorry, I can't see you. Because I've been on the computer a lot, right? And so I was like, just it's because my eyes are tired. But no, I think it's that thing where you just get older and your eyes need like magnification. But all I can think of is like, what about people in fucking ancient Greece when their eyes started to go bad? Or maybe they didn't live that long. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they mostly died at 40. I don't think that there was a lot of that going on.
Okay, fine. That's a good, but I do think about, and I know you've had glasses for a lot of your life, and I know like my bestie Abby cannot see without her contacts in. And so she's like, you know, it's scary because you think about it like, what if there's, I don't know, something end of days, we can't get to glasses. But anyway, I like to be dramatic. I can't see at night.
But well, you don't use anything. You don't use any kind of readers.
No, but I need to. I think I need to.
Yeah, you should go see, because I know that for me, so I got glasses when I was either 15 or 16, and I will say it was crazy.
Right.
Like, I know that now it sounds like I'm going to quote a Grey's Anatomy scene, but they quoted me, because it really was that thing where I put glasses on, and I was like, there are individual leaves on trees? Like, it was a crazy, like, mind-blowing moment where, like, the world just looks so different. And so two things to add to that, though. One, my prescription has not changed since I was 15 or 16 years old.
That's crazy. Like, I've never. Are you sure?
I know, it's kind of wild. I'm sure, and then we'll get to a bit of an addendum. Because on one hand, I think that makes me a really good candidate for like LASIK.
Yeah.
Even though I'm kind of afraid of it. Like, feel
just
like
do
I.
Just do it.
I should. But here's what I will add to that. So, and it's been the last couple of times that I've seen an eye doctor, but this last time especially, that this doctor was like, we will continue to give you this prescription because it's in general, it's working for you. In reality, I should have, they don't call them bifocals anymore. They call them something else, and I can't think of what the term is.
Is it progressives or something?
I think maybe that is what it is. And it's the fact that, like, I now, they've sort of made me choose what's important to you, seeing things up close.
Right, right.
Or seeing things far away, right. And now, because I'm not a truck driver,
right,
I have chosen to see things up close. Now, what that has affected mostly and most annoyingly is theater.
Oh.
So when I go, I've seen a lot of theater in the last couple of weeks, and I have noticed that even last night I saw a play and I was like in row O, which is not that far back. That's like 50, I can do math and do letters, but it's not, you know, it's not terribly far back, and I could see fine. Like I could see fine, but I couldn't see small expressions, and that's, theater in general
is not. You want to see the small expressions.
Right. And there was something else that I saw that I was just a little bit further back that I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. And like, I saw a musical a couple weeks ago that I was like in the third row, and it was amazing. I was like, oh, I can see all the expressions. I can see all the little nuances, and it was different. So it is a thing where I do wonder at some point if I will have to sort of make that choice of like, well, I also want to see things far away, so I need to get the progressives or whatever they're called.
Well, the thing about that too, though, is if you didn't want to do that, you could just have the ones that are far away. They could be called your theater glasses.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. But I think it's just, it's like the ego, of course, is being like, what? I'm not getting older, but of course we are. And I don't know, you know, it hurts my feelings a little bit, but it's probably because I was so high and mighty in my youth, you know.
We all are, though. We all are. And I have moments where I look at like a 20-something year old and I'm like, you don't know that one day you're going to be old.
I know.
And you know, and that's good. That's probably good. I guess that I'm glad that when I was 22, 100%. I was like, this is forever. This is going to be, you know, like, this is how I'm going to feel.
Yeah. And you know, it's, I don't want to go back there either, but I just have to come to terms. And then actually the other aspect for me and the glasses is, you said do you wear glasses? I don't wear them, but I have some because they make me dizzy. And so,
okay.
part of, I do think I, when I drive at night, I have always like, it's, I mean, it might be anxiety, but I've always been a little freaked out because it's dark and I'm like, I can't see. So I was, uh-huh. I want glasses when I drive, and I, my commute to work is about an hour and a half each way, Mike. It's pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I need to be able to see, which I could see fine. But yeah, it's that thing where like, I can't have just the close up glasses because if, when I'm walking around, I'll barf. Or like when I look at something, like if I'm going from something close to even the computer a little bit farther away, it makes me dizzy. Okay, fine. I know this is the boringest subject, but I just, it's so frustrating. I'm frustrated and I need to go to the doctor. And I also, I don't know why I have this thing where I feel like when you go to the eye doctor, they're like car salesmen. So they just want to upsell me.
You know, I did not have that experience with the eye doctor that I went to recently.
Well, that's
he
good.
Was very much like, this is something that you should look at in the future. Like, I'm not going to make you, because it is more expensive. I want to get the progressives right, which we're calling them now. Like, it is more expensive. He was like, at some point, you're going to want to spend this. If you don't want to do it now, that's fine. Like, you can continue with what you currently have. So, yeah.
Okay, one more thing about it, though, before, is I also feel like when you go, they're just asking you questions and you're trying to answer as honestly as possible. I don't feel like, they don't go in and like, scan your eye and know what kind of lens you need or whatever magnification you need, because they're just being like, what is that fuzzy to you? Did I go to a whack doctor? Because like, really, they do the thing where they move the thing and they're like, which is better? Is this better? But I'm like, I can't take my word for it. I don't know. I don't trust myself.
I have definitely done I've when I'm not sure, I will ask to see it again.
Okay.
I will be like, can you show me that again? Because like, I couldn't really tell the difference. And I have gotten to the point now where there are certain times that I'm like, that looks the same to me.
Okay.
Like, I'm not really noticing a difference. I think you're allowed to say that. Be like, that's all the same.
I'm just going
to
go in super angry.
Yeah, I think it's just going in being like, I'm, you know, just don't try to answer the questions how you think they want you to answer them. Answer how it actually feels.
So hard for me.
Yeah.
But yes, okay. Thank you for letting me talk about that.
That's okay. Here's something else that I'm going to ask you about, and we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But we were sort of texting about Mother's Day a little bit.
Yeah, it was a rough one, guys. It was a rough one. It's, you know what it is? It's the expectation. You know when you have a bad day on your birthday kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think I had no right to think of it was going to be good. Like, there was no setup for... not a great one, but there was things that compounded it. And as whoever's following this podcast have known that I've been pretty much solo parenting for the last, I guess we're at 5 months now. Can you believe that, Mike?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
It's fucking crazy.
It's been a long time.
I can't believe it. Well, I'll get to that. My sweet, dear partner, who we've been together since we were, as soon as Mike came to New York. So how long has that been?
26 years.
So we've been together for 26 years. Because I met him.
Over 26 years, yeah.
I met him right after you got on the plane. And I was depressed and I found this cute little piece of ash.
You're like, I need another blonde guy in my life.
Yeah, exactly. But I like to fuck him. Anyway, so we've been together a long time. We grew up together. We have raised each other a little bit. We waited a long time to have kids. We didn't have kids. Our oldest is 12 now, you know. Do the math, 26 minus. But... all that is to say, like, not perfect all the time, obviously. And him being gone is tough because we are a team. Like, we work together to have our kids. Like,
yeah,
we equally take them to stuff. We care for them. We love them. But of course, it falls on me. And I am, as y'all know, I'm working full time too. It's been 5 months, so it all happened exactly at the same time.
While also launching a brand new podcast.
Right. Well, that plan of that was before either of the job or the other thing were in the world, even in my thought process. So you're right. That one too. That I'm just like, I just put that into a corner of my mind like it's not happening. I'm just kidding. Please go listen to the podcast. It's called The Full Mom Tea. If you're a parent, you probably will like it. So I got up in the morning and of course somehow I decided to become like sign up for Snack Bitch for the hockey team because they had a game on Mother's Day. Fine. No problem. Mm-mm, no problem. Because it's just me and the kids. Why not? Let's go to a hockey game.
Sure.
Might as well rip it off like a Band-Aid. Do the snacks on Mother's Day too. Did that. Well, my son, I honestly don't think they've been, both kids, they have not been feeling well. But when he's just such an extra butthole when he's not feeling well. And I can't trust them. Like, I don't want to do everything for them, make sure they have everything. He forgot like a really integral piece of their hockey costume. Whatever the fuck it is. Oh. And it's like basically so they don't get their neck slashed. And I'm like, okay, I saw it. I put it on the table. You're supposed to put it on before you left the fucking house. Anyways, long story short, we came back and forth. He barely made it to the game. So that was really stressful. And he was just mean. And I also was like, you know, it's my day. I get to listen to the music I want. I get to, we're going to go eat where I want. But with the kids, and especially me, when it's with Adam, he's a little more like, no, 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 we're doing what I want. But I don't mind having a negotiation with them usually. But I'm like, today uh-huh. I do what I want to fucking do. And like, it should be like that on your birthday and Mother's Day. And the truth is I know Mother's Day is a holiday where you work your ass off. It doesn't matter. Like that's why last year we went to Legoland, remember? Because right, I was like, yeah. Fuck it. Let's do something where the kids are fully engaged. And, you know, I'll just have some cocktails on the side because Legoland does have cocktails, just so you know. Super fun. I should have done that this year. But anyway, Adam forgot to say Happy Mother's Day. He forgot to text me Happy Mother's Day. And I know it's not a big deal. And I have been off Instagram, so I deleted the apps. I do this often because I'm a crazy person, but it's the only way I can like control myself to not go there. So I had not been on Instagram for maybe like 3 days. And I didn't tell him that. But also, he should not try to communicate to me through Instagram. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I guess right. He had posted something, but I don't freaking care about that. So as all these things were like, I forget what else happened, but there was a bunch of things that just weren't working out. And it was really frustrated. And, you know, again, sick kids dealing with that. And just me getting more rageful and more rageful. And yeah, I just was like, I had a horrible, it was a sad day. And then I also, you know, I think I mentioned this to you, but like, it's like, I don't know how, like, if anyone's experienced this, but it's like the idea of like, you know, I know we go through seasons of like being really busy or like we're not in our norm. Like you and I used to get to see each other every week on this, like doing this, which is great, but I've been so busy. And so like, I'm so, so busy that all I have time for right now, and I'm really just like trying to keep my head above water. I'm trying to do a good job at work and I am succeeding at that, which is great. And I am getting good. The kids to the things they need to go to. They are clean, they are fed, and I think they're probably not too emotionally fucked up. Although at the hockey game after like running home, I feel like I'm telling the story and it wasn't even that dramatic, but I was so upset. And I do think I said something that might have will mess Amelia's mind up and make her not want to have children for the rest of her life. Yeah, I know. It's like things that come out of your mouth, you know? I was not mean towards her. It was just mean. It was just about being a mother and... Well, maybe that is mean towards her, how I didn't necessarily want to, but I am. And I said it anyways, let's not dwell on that one. Point is, I have been feeling guilt, of course, from like not being able to give our podcast as much attention, not, you know, doing my best with the new podcast, giving that the energy that needs. And then like my friendships. And I mean, I guess I kind of assume that like all my parent friends who I'm like, who I see sort of regularly, but not like all the time. There is like I'm so sorry, I'm taking so long here. There is like sort of silent understanding that we pop up when we can, we get together, we have fun. And then we go back into the hellish landscape of our lives where we're taking care of our children and going to work and stuff like that. And so I wasn't really thinking too much of it, but I had a friend who, and again, this is like not the greatest, but another friend was like, you know, she thinks you're mad at her. And I was like, huh? I was like, what? And you know, of course, I don't ever want to hurt someone's feelings. And in my mind, my smart brain goes, that's ridiculous. I'm really busy. Of course, I'm not mad. I don't even have time to think about anybody, not even myself. So that would have been easy to get out of your mind. But of course, I couldn't stop obsessing over it. And I was feeling really like upset that I'm hurting someone. And I'm like, then I go into the spiral of like, of course I am. Like, I can't do anything. I'm working, so I'm doing good at work. But everything else fucking gets destroyed. Friendships, my children. I gave you an audio message. I was in a very sad, dark place because I was just like, I don't know, man. Like, I can't win. Like, what's the thing? And then now I feel like much like lemonade, I went through many different cycles of my emotions where I was like in denial. Then I was angry. And my anger part was, you know what? Now I am mad at you. I'm mad at you for for like thinking, for not being sensitive towards my situation. So I've let it go. And I've like, honestly, all I did was just send some texts and we're going to get together. But like, because it's not that big of a deal. But it triggered me, I guess you could say, yeah, into a place where I was just like, I'm a terrible friend. I don't even have a partner right now who can even say, thanks for being a mom. But he felt really bad. He said he thought he had texted the first thing he did. He thought that's what he texted me. But he didn't. He texted me good morning.
Yeah, it's tough. And because I want to be clear, because I don't know if we talked about this last time, and I hope it's okay for me to bring this up, because yeah, I did reach out to you a couple weeks ago about that my feelings had been kind of hurt that you hadn't responded to a particular thing.
Oh, yes.
And it was a little thing, and that's why I was kind of hurt, because it felt like it. But I want you to know that though I miss doing this every week, and I would love to live in a reality where we can do that, I know that we can't. Like, yeah, I'm just aware of the fact that like you have so much, you're not letting me down.
No, thank you.
I want that to be clear on my part. That,
I love you.
I understand. And I love you as well. And we all get in places where there's just so much going on. Yeah. And it's tough when, because whoever this other parent is that felt like you were mad at them, my reaction would also be like, well, now I am.
Yeah. I know.
And I've had that reaction to people before. Where, like, I remember like someone once saying to me, like, did I do something to bother you? And I was like, you mean besides asking me that question?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that while we have, like, that is an example of, like, how we need to have grace for each other and, like, yeah, let each other off the hook sometimes. But we also have to have grace for ourselves and recognize that, like, we are going to drop a ball. Like, we are going to, we cannot do everything all the time. Like, we are going to have moments where things fall through the cracks. And that sucks. And hopefully, if someone is, like, at all understanding, you can say to them, I'm going through a thing right now, or I'm really busy right now, and I'm sorry if I... Because that's... I mean, you just said to me, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't do this thing. Yeah. And that's all that it... I was like, yeah, okay, well, then we're over it. Like, that's all that it needed. I just needed to hear that, like, you know, I will make that time for you right now. And I don't know. It's tough. It's tough when you're the one, because I've definitely been in the situation where I've been like, well, I'm just letting everyone down. Well, I'm just not getting anything done that I'm supposed to be getting done. And it's a difficult... I think that you and I are both really hard on ourselves about things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I don't know. I don't necessarily have the answer other than, can everyone just be a little bit nicer to each other?
And also, I just need everything to change a bit again, but it will. Because I guess my big realization right now in this, like, part of my life, my journey on this planet, is that, oh, I cannot do everything. Because I always, you know, I always think I can do everything. But I actually cannot do everything. Yeah. And I have to just say, okay. Like, really, truly, if I can't give energy to that particular friendship, maybe it's just better that we're acquaintances. You know what I mean? But of course, I want to, you know, like, yeah, I know. Well, I love you and thank you for saying that. But that was, that situation was a little different, because I was just like, I mean, it wasn't, and it was exactly what it was, where I was just like looking at it and thinking I'm responding and looking at it and keeping thinking about it and not, you know. But I'm glad that you're honest, because, you know, you're very important to me. You're super special to me. So that, not that that other person doesn't mean, you know, but you mean a lot to me. You need, like, we are in a relationship that is, like, you know, close, very close. So we need to be honest with each other. And I appreciate it. That was a moment of good realization for me.
And that was, like, how often has that ever happened between the two of us? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're twice, also the type once? Of friends that, right, like, that we're really good at being, like, I understand where you are. You understand where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I love you. No, I appreciate
it. I love you
that.
As well. Yeah,
but now,
for sure.
But now I'm in the phase of my chapter is forgiveness, and I'm soon to be resurrected. Oh, why am I talking like this, Mike? Oh, wait. First, you need to tell us about your week. How is it going?
I don't have a whole lot to say. I will say that my Mother's Day, I managed at the damn restaurant, which is fine. I was helping out someone who needed the day off. And this is the main story that I'll tell. Other than, like, this, please understand that there's so much happening at, like, the number of, like, tiny crisis that happened while I was there was just like, can things just go well? Can things just be fine?
Yeah.
And everything's fine. It's not life or death, but just, like, every... I always say that managing is like boredom with moments of absolute panic. Like, it's either nothing is happening or you're like, why are the computers all frozen? Like, that's literally like how the night goes. I will also say that last week was my 26th anniversary of moving to New York City. Yeah, and my 26th anniversary of seeing my very first Broadway show.
Wow.
And I think that was the third. Yeah. May 3rd. And the very first show that I ever saw was a play called Taller Than a Dwarf with Matthew Broderick and Parker Posey. And it was not very good.
Oh, but interesting.
It was and it was an experience. And like, it was cool, you know, whatever. Like, I saw a Broadway show. And it was playing at the Long Acre Theater, or as I like to call it, the Long Acre. And
okay.
Right now, there's a musical playing there called Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York.
Oh, yes.
So I am going to be honest and say that I had heard not great things about it. And maybe that's part of what it was. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I thought it was a blast. It's an original story, you know, original music. Two people. Well, I actually realized that the actress I have seen in a couple, I've seen her entire career. I've seen her in both of her Broadway musicals that she's done. She was the Fay Wray, like the lead female character in the King Kong musical that I think I probably talked about forever ago.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, it was sort of, and she was great. I will say that I saw the understudy for the guy, and part of me is like, because the guy got nominated for a Tony Award, and so part of me wants to see him again. But also, the guy we saw was so good. Like, great. He was incredible. So it was a super fun day, and Annabelle got us great tickets because she's worked the show that she company managed was the previous tenant of this theater. And then we went down to our friend Jesse's restaurant, which you and I had gotten a drink at when you were staying. It was so fun, and like a great meal, and just like a really, really good time. So I had a really nice 26th anniversary. And yeah, it's tough because I'm that kind of person who, and maybe this is kind of going back to you and I being hard on ourselves, because I have moments where I look and I think, I've been in New York for 26 years, and there's a part of me that is self-punishing, that says like, and what the fuck have you done? Like, what have you done in 20, like, what have you accomplished? Like, what have you, what do you have to show for yourself? And, you know, I can live in that headspace forever. Like, that is a headspace that I'm very, very comfortable in, the headspace of you are a loser and you're not doing anything with your life.
Okay, yes, keep talking, which obviously you're not. I'm like, yes, Mike. No, no.
Yes, you are. No. But you know, but I also have to remind myself that I have done things. And also,
of course,
26 years is a long time to survive in New York
City.
And anywhere. But like, the fact that I'm here and I'm, you know, I seeing shows. And so anyways, that's. I want to end on like, it was a good day and I feel happy and I am being creative and it's, everything's good.
Yeah.
And we need to be nicer to ourselves, I guess, is the end of that story.
No, it's totally, it is that thing. It's like it's a new reframing. Like, right. Like mine is like, oh, I can't do it all. And I agree with yours. It's like, also what are like, from looking from the outside in, I'm like, wow, he's done so much, you know, so many creative things, so much, so many, like even this year is incredible with your performance and the video. It looks so good, Mike. I love it. Oh my God. And I am, you guys, I know we mentioned it last episode, but you have to go to Wonderful People Remix. It is so, the radio edit's great. The remix is so much fun. And I need it to be in the clubs. It is just, I mean, like, I honestly put it on in the morning and it just, because I put music on in the morning because everybody's upset and annoyed about waking up in the morning. So I'm trying to keep, so it's a fun one and the kids love it. And God, it's a good one. Okay, so wait, one more thing I wanted to say, because I randomly saw a meme come up and it was about like Catholic guilt, but essentially like, you know, like religious guilt. And I didn't realize what it was. It is essentially like never, like anytime anything good happens, you have something in your head that says, no, I shouldn't, you know, or I shouldn't be happy for this. Waiting for the other shoe to drop or whatever. Like that's the Armenian guilt I think I have. Because that's, sometimes I get so upset with myself because I'm like, I can't enjoy this moment. What the hell? But I was looking at it. The definition of Catholic guilt is a widely recognized term for an intense, often disproportionate sense of remorse, responsibility, or shame regarding one's actions, thoughts, or moral failings, often deeply ingrained in those who were raised in the Catholic Church, but in any church. But it's like, it's like even in good times, you're feeling this like shame, remorse, and it's just so fucked up. And I'm like, I don't want that anymore. So I'm going to do some research for our next episode to figure out some tips not to feel that way. Because that's part of being hard on ourselves, is that way. It's like this ever, this, I don't even know how to explain it, you know?
Yeah, it's tough because I don't think of myself as someone who was raised with that, but obviously I was.
Yeah.
Like, it's like so subconscious. And when I think back on things that were said to me or things, I mean, whatever, even coming down to being gay, like I, even through high school, I remember like in church activities being told that I should find that disgusting. Like I should find it revolting, the idea of someone being gay. And so I was, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That is definitely in my consciousness of like feeling ashamed of my own feelings.
Crazy.
And that's, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how you fully get rid of that.
I don't know. There's gotta be tools. I mean, there's tools for everything, right? That's why we go to therapy. Yeah. But also, you know, I don't know if it's like the survivor guilt of the Armenian genocide people, but like my dad growing up with it, it's like, or he would be like, cause you know, I've always been like an actor. I've always been out there in the world. And he's like, be careful. Don't be too, you know. People are going to look at you and have bad eyes on you and give, it'll like almost like curse you, you know, if you have too much energy on you. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, protect yourself. Don't let too many people look at me. And then, which annoys me because I'm like, maybe I would have been a better, like maybe I would have gone for it harder as an actor back in the day if I hadn't been, I can't blame him, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know. I do know what you mean. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Well, we were sort of segueing earlier, so we'll just like do the segue all the way because we wanted to talk about, and you know, it'll be kind of just our topic of the week. We don't have to, we could spend hours talking about it. But you know, it's funny because it is very me. It's very on brand to have like just discovered what is probably the greatest album of 2016. Was it 16 or 15, something like that?
Yeah, I don't.
And it really like my journey 15. To Lemonade, 15. Was that because I remember it being a thing at the time. Like I remember Lemonade, I remember it being an HBO short film, but it was only on HBO for like 2 days. And then it was obviously an album. And then it was the whole thing where like Adele ended up winning the Grammy that year. Even Adele had a moment of like, I don't know what to do. Like this clearly Lemonade is like the greatest
thing. It's 2016, sorry.
2016,
yeah,
okay.
I looked it up.
And I have always said that I am part of the reason why it didn't win the Grammy because I'm a Grammy voter. I'm just kidding.
But I'm
like,
mad at you.
Because I didn't know how to consume it. I didn't understand, like, should I listen to it? Am I supposed to?
They didn't make it easy.
Well, and we'll get to that as well, because it's still not super easy. So my journey to Beyonce has been like, I've been a fan since Destiny's Child and like Crazy in Love and like her early singles, but I've never like bought and listened to an album. Like I've never like really delved into it until Renaissance happened. And then Renaissance, because she was so vocal about it being sort of an ode to her uncle who like brought her into the queer community. And she was so open about it being an homage to the queer community and to dance, and that I was like, well, I'm gonna listen to that. And I, for those that know, like that became like my album for like a year. A year and a half. It is the only thing I listened to for a solid 18 months. Like I was obsessed with that album. And then when Cowboy Carter came out, like I'm not really a country person, but I love the chicks because I'm human.
Yeah.
And so I love Cowboy Carter. I think it's great. And you know, as a human race are waiting for the announcement of the third chapter in Beyonce's trilogy, I was like, well, I should take a moment and go back and listen to Lemonade. And what I will say about it is the first time that I listened to it, I was just blown away by the sound.
Sonic.
Like it is crazy. Like it is so incredible to me what she does sonically. I don't know. Like, what can you flash us back 10 years and talk about like your experience with it?
Oh my God, Mike. You know, okay, so I actually was not a Destiny's Child fan. I mean, I liked it. I danced to it,
sure.
But it felt a little poppy to me, which it is. And I love pop music, but like, you know, I don't know. For some reason, I didn't connect totally to that. But I always liked her and I love her music and I love her ballads and she's got a great voice.
You can taste the dishonesty. All over your breath.
But when I'm not even sure how I found the, like, I think I just bought it on music, Apple Music, because you could buy the movie on Apple.
Sure.
You could buy the movie on Apple Music. And my friends at the time, I was doing a show and they were like going gaga over it. And remember the video of "Hold up, they don't love you like I love you" with the yellow dress and everything.
Hold up, they don't love you like I love you. Slow down, they don't love you like I love you. Back up, they don't love you like I love you. Step down, they don't love you like I love you.
So yeah, that was my first like little visual foray into it. And then I got it and I watched it and I was maybe I'm a little pretentious artsy, but like artistically it told a story and I just loved it. It's so, like you said, sonically, I could put it, I have it on my phone, like downloaded. So under the subway, when things like now, you know, your phone works on the subway, but back then it wouldn't. And so that would be my thing I would listen to, because it was just, it just, like nothing else for me, it took me out of the place I was. And I, like visually speaking, like sonically speaking, like the quiet moments, the art direction's insane. And some of it doesn't make total sense, but there's like a through line. And so I was beyond moved by it, like in an art, like artistically, I was just like floored. And so I was like, Mike, you have to watch it. But you didn't get to it till a little while later.
I didn't get to it. I didn't get to it for a long time. Once again, very on brand that 10 years later. And, you know, I had seen the short film once with Annabelle, because Annabelle's also a huge fan of Lemonade. And so we had watched it a couple years ago, and it was interesting to watch. You know, I think it's different now, because I rewatched it last night after knowing the album quite a bit better. And I will say, like, it's such a different experience, even down to this is, so there is a song on the album that I thought was beautiful, but I didn't really get. Oh, and it's the song Sandcastles.
We built sandcastles that washed away. I made you cry when I walked away. Oh, and although I promised that I couldn't stay, every promise don't work out that way.
And I listened to it on the album, and I, you know, there's the lyric of, and I'm going to say it wrong, we'll just put the music in probably, but it's where she says, you know, though I promised that I couldn't stay, not every promise turns out that way. And I didn't understand what that meant. Like, does that mean that you, because I thought we were still in anger. And then watching the short film, that song is forgiveness. And I don't know why it hadn't clicked to me that that song was forgiveness. And so to sort of hear that lyric with the idea of, because that's the song, and I have to say, listen, it's a whole album about allegedly her
being cheated on,
husband cheating on her, maybe, sort of, perhaps, And the fact that he's in that song, like that song is the
crazy
two of them together in the video, I was like, wow, wild and good on you. You know, like, good on you to be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to be part of this. I'm going to acknowledge this. And yeah, it was an interesting experience, a really interesting and emotional experience watching it again last night after knowing the music and knowing the story that she was telling.
To say that I think, you know, I've been cheated on. I'm sure you've been cheated on. I don't know. It's such a human thing. And especially when you really like, are connected to the person, and I've never been cheated on by my husband, but it feels real when you're in that moment. So like the way and the way it's portrayed to us or put together, I'd also like to say, obviously this is not just Beyoncé. This is a huge collaborative team working together to make this, like some of the poems, I don't think she wrote, you know, she didn't write.
She didn't. No, I looked at it. I was researching
that
it today.
The first one when she's like, I did all this for you.
I tried to change. Closed my mouth more. Tried to be softer. Prettier. Less awake. Fasted for 60 days. Wore white. Abstained from mirrors. Abstain from sex. Slowly did not speak another word.
In that time, my hair, I grew past my ankles. I slept on a mat on a floor. I swallowed a sword. I levitated, went to the basement, confessed my sins and was baptized in a river. Got on my knees and said amen and said I mean. I whipped my own back and asked for dominion at your feet. I threw myself into a volcano. I drank the blood and drank the wine. I sat alone and begged and bent at the waist for God. I crossed myself and thought I saw the devil. I grew thickened skin on my feet. I bathed in bleach and plugged my menses with pages from the holy book, but still inside me, coiled deep, was the need to know. Are you cheating on me? Are you cheating on me?
Where she's sensing it. It's like right at the beginning, she's sensing something's wrong. It's like, you know, yes. And you're like,
intuition.
You get a sick feeling where you're like, something's different. You know, this person that I'm usually like, we're so connected. There's a disconnect. It's the way it's put together is just so fucking crazy. And underwater. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really beautiful. And I, my only nitpick, and this will be my thing I could do without, so I won't say one later on, is that I just wish it was more accessible. Like, I wish it was easier to watch. Because, like, I finally watched it last night. You can watch it on a TV if you do the Tidal thing. And I don't know if Tidal is considered a success or not. I don't know. But, like, 10 years...
It was still a thing.
I didn't know it was still a thing either. But, like, I bought it on Apple and I bought the deluxe version so that I have the video, and I assumed I could then watch it on TV through Apple TV Plus, but
you cannot
watch it that way. Yeah. So I watched it on my computer screen, which was fine, but like, I want to watch it on a big screen. I don't know.
It's visually so stunning that it deserves to be seen on a big screen.
I agree. So I wish, when Beyonce hears this, no, I don't know. I wish it was back on HBO or back like some platform where it could be seen on a bigger screen. So
I know. I agree. Yeah,
that's all. I don't
and
know.
And then I was just going to say, I love the song Daddy's.
Is it Daddy Lessons?
Daddy Lessons.
I came into this world, Daddy's little girl. Soldier out of me. Ooh. Daddy made me dance. Daddy held my hand. Daddy liked his whiskey with his tea.
Now, I know that's her like one country sort of song, but in the film, their costumes are delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. It's a great song. I love, 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 love that song.
With his gun. Oh, my daddy said shoot. With his right hand on his rifle, he swore it on the Bible. My daddy said shoot. Oh, my daddy said shoot.
I like a lot of them.
Have you heard the version of that where it's her and the chicks all together?
I did. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. Yeah. You know a song I love, which is not that it's a weird song to love, but I don't know why, but like Six Inch Heels. Like, just the sound of that song is so amazing to me. And like, her vocals, it's, I love that song.
Stars in her eyes, she fights and she sweats on sleepless nights. But she don't mind, she loves to grind. She cries from Monday to Friday, works from Friday to Sunday, She's so slang, too smart to crave material things. Stacking on paper, stacking on paper. She grinds from Monday to Friday, works from Friday to Sunday. Six inch heels, she walked in a club like nobody's business.
It's really, it's a great album. Like, it's just... it's sonically amazing. It's lyrically amazing. It's definitely more than satiating my desire for the third chapter in her trilogy.
Totally. And then, Mike, I love it when you're like, stop interrupting my grinding.
No, I'm the one that's lying, and I don't feel bad about it. It's exactly what you get. Stop interrupting my grinding. I ain't interrupting my grinding.
I think about it all the time. I want to say it all the time. I said it to my kids and they're like, what?
I love it. I also love, what's the moment where it's just like, stylin'. So I try to say that, but when something looks really good, I'm like, stylin'.
God, I love it.
I do have a thing that I want to bring up as far as like things I'm digging. I don't know if you have anything this week.
I do.
Oh, you do? Then tell me yours.
Because, Mike, did I say this last time? We've been watching The Amazing Race.
Oh, no. I don't think you brought this up.
With the kids. And I've talked to them a lot. Like, I'm like, Mike and I used to talk a lot about we would be a pair. Although watching again, I'm like, dang, I don't, like at this point in my life, I probably get dizzy and want to barf.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we watched, because I was like, let's go to something fun. So I looked it up. Season 5 is what we started with. And it was an amazing journey. And at the end, we were screaming and clapping and crying. And it was just, I don't want to, obviously it's been a while, but do you remember season 5? Chip and Kim win?
Oh, the I black couple,
the parents, they're like the parents. Anyways, there's a bunch of villains, sort of villains, you know, who are real dicks, and you're just like, don't want them to win it at the end when these two like middle-aged people, you know, are running. My kids were so cute. They were like clapping like we're watching a sporting event. It was so exciting. And now we're on to season 17, because apparently that's a good one. But it was so good. It was so fun. So I'm digging going back and watching old episodes of The Amazing Race.
I have a favorite season, and I'll have to look and see which season it was, because it reminds me of what you're talking about. We're like, oh God, it was the one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I love that show so much. And it is, I still hold to the fact that I think that we would do really well on it, because we're really good communicators, and I don't know what would happen when it comes to the heights. I feel like one of us would have to just be like,
I could do heights.
Okay, you can. All right. Because that's the rough one for me.
I know, and you could do that. I could do heights. There's other things, but it's funny. While we're watching the entire time, whenever there's like a challenge or a roadblock, Calvin's like, "Would you or Mike do this one?" I was like, "Well, I guess at this point, like they just had to anything that's like sort of too in like closed.
Sure,
they're like, Mike's doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I do. It's so funny.
You're so big.
I do the same thing. When I watch it, I'm like, oh, Vanya would do this one. This would be a Vanya one. And I'm like, oh, I think I could do this one. I totally watch it the same way. That's really funny.
Oh my god, that's so
I love
funny.
The Amazing Race.
Me too.
I want to quickly just say that having finished, I know that I talked about this last time we recorded, but finished the third season of The Comeback. And I just love it so much. They did such a beautiful job with it, and like such an honest, because there were moments that I was like, oh, I kind of wish blah. And then I was like, no, but that is how it would happen. Like it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be everything exactly. It's going to be that, like that makes sense to me. So I do encourage anyone, once again, for someone who only watched the first season when the second season was coming out, and then watched the second season with my hands over my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
I thoroughly enjoyed the third season, and it's still... And I enjoyed it because I was also listening to the podcast with Lisa Kudrow and Michael Patrick King. And maybe something that I should, and I'm going to say it here because I think it's worth hearing. Lisa Kudrow's insistence that while we watch it and cringe, Valerie Cherish isn't cringing. She's not upset about any of it. That like her spin on things is like, oh, having a bad day. That's okay. Not my problem. And I think that's such a healthy attitude to have, that I'm working on it. I'm working on trying to have that attitude of like, oh, that's not about me. That's their thing. So anyways, I just thought it was really, really well done. I thought it was well executed, brought it in for landing.
Fun.
I saw a movie last night that when I saw the preview for this movie, okay, I'm not going to be coy about it. When I saw a preview for a film called The Sheep Detectives.
Oh,
I was
we're
like,
gonna see it on Friday.
Vanya, I laughed.
Was it good?
I cried. I loved it so much. The voice, and like it's mostly, you know, CGI sheep, you know, and it like every actor, like everyone's famous, like playing a sheep, and you know, Hugh Jackman is one of the humans that's in it, and Emma Thompson, and like Nicholas Brown, like it's a great cast of people playing people and people playing sheep. Listen, it, you know, it acknowledges death, you know, it acknowledges tragedy, it acknowledges sadness. This is not a spoiler, but I think it's a thing that I should tell you.
Okay.
No sheep is going to get hit by a car.
Okay, thank you.
And in the same way that I sometimes, when I'm talking to you, I want to be like, no one's going to get raped in this movie.
I know.
I feel like sometimes it's good for you to know ahead of time. Because
oh
I don't
God.
Think it's, because for me, I was so distracted by certain moments being like, is that sheep going to get hit by a car?
Okay.
No sheep gets hit by a car.
Too.
So you can,
because
let
it's
it go.
True.
Yeah, that's not, don't be distracted by it. I loved it. I thought it was so beautiful and like,
I'm excited.
A really satisfying mystery that I was like, yeah, that well done. Well done, Anya.
Yay.
And everyone's really good. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And once again, saw the preview and was like, that looks like the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize that it's the screen, not that this was going to be it, but like the screenplay is Craig Mazin, who's the guy that does The Last of Us and did the Chernobyl miniseries. And I listen to his podcast every week on screenwriting, and he's super smart.
Oh my gosh.
And that was part of my thing of like, oh, well, this, maybe this will actually be good. And then, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh,
worth
I'm so
watching
excited.
The Sheep Detectives.
Because we saw the Mario movie or whatever. We saw a couple kids movies, and that is part of the trailers we've been...
Sure,
and the kids
yeah.
are like, we want to see the Sheep movie. I was like, okay, guys, it's not out yet, but it comes out. And so we're going to see it this week. And I'm so excited. Oh, I forgot one also digging. And I think I sent
yeah,
you a
it.
Picture of it. On Apple TV, I've been watching Margot Has Money Troubles or something like
yeah.
this. I forget what it was. And it's... I mean, Nick Offerman is incredible. He is so good. And it's just, it's a little hard to watch because there's,
yeah.
there's, did you start it? Have you watched
so
it?
So I'm up to see, I've watched the first four episodes.
Yeah,
I know there
I'm
are six
the
out
same.
Right now.
Or I don't know. The last one I watched, they went to Vegas. Did you
that
watch
might
that
be,
one?
Is that where we meet Nicole Kidman's character for the first time?
No. That's an so you're the Vegas one is where she's getting married, where
okay,
the mom
so,
is getting married.
So you're ahead of me by at least one.
Yeah, it's really, I know it's rough, but I don't know why I can handle it. Like, because there's, and again, it reminded me when you said, I'm worried someone's getting raped. I'm always worried someone's going to get raped or something's going to happen, someone's going to drop the baby, but nothing has happened like that yet. And I know, like, it's funny, I talk about how sensitive I am, but this one, for some reason, I could handle. I don't know. I like
it. It's funny the things that, like, are just cathartic, and because I'm a little bit on the fence. Not that I'm not liking it, but I'm having
yeah.
a hard time with certain storytelling aspects where I'm just like, ah, don't do that. So
yeah.
I'm struggling a little bit, but I'm overall enjoying it. And Nick Offerman is incredible. Like, he's so good on this series. I mean, the whole cast is so good. It's
yeah.
really fun seeing Michelle Pfeiffer do something like this.
Yes.
I, you know, Elle Fanning is someone, like, any child star, I'm always a little bit like, child star. But, like, she's grown into such an...
She's doing a good job.
...really interesting, like, cool-to-watch actress. Yeah, so I am enjoying it. Maybe we'll talk off about certain aspects
yeah,
that
Yeah, let's
having.
Talk, because I know, I think I know what you mean, but I'm also, like, I'm watching it kind of like when you watch some of those TV shows in the 90s where, you know, I don't know, it segues into weird places and you're kind of like, okay, I'm just forgetting that part. Anyway, yeah, let's talk.
But I am enjoying it. All right, cool. We should probably wrap up because we both have things
yeah.
we got to get going. But I'm so
yes.
glad we did this. I'm glad we had
Me
time.
Too.
And listen, I mean, once again, we do this as often as we can. It's just not weekly right now. We're
right.
sort of falling into
be.
An every other week thing. Maybe we'll try to keep that going. But,
yeah.
you know, we'll be back as soon as we can.
Yep. Sounds good. I love you. Thanks for listening,
love you too.
Everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, listening. We'll be back as
Bye.
Soon as we can. Bye. Oh, that's my mouse. Is there it is. Bye. Thanks for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursdays, so make sure you subscribe if you want to be a part of the journey. You can follow us on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and me at MikeJensen77. You can also listen to my other podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, with Elise Castle, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back. You know, CGI sheep, like sheep,
yeah.
sheep, you know, and it like every...